So glad you're with us tonight. Every week at 7 o'clock, we get together on Saturday nights and we sing songs at the top of our lungs and praise God. And then we open up the scripture to see what he has for us, and we learn how we're supposed to change our lives to line up with what his book says and what his word says. And then afterwards, we get together for snacks. Sometimes we'll go out to a restaurant and we try to have a meaningful conversation about what we heard that night, what the worship spoke to us, what the scripture said to us, and challenge each other to live that out. So we're really glad you're with us. At this time, I'm going to ask Meg to come and go ahead and give us some announcements. You guys can go ahead and have a seat.
Hello. I just have two announcements for you today. As you know, we've been talking about Mission Conference for a long time now. We have one more fundraiser that we're going to try and raise some more money for these missionaries before they get here. This is our hoagie sale. And the deadline is going to be not this Sunday, but next Sunday for orders for that. Right now, we just have an order form out front, but the next two Sundays, we're going to have some order forms in the bulletins, too. They're just 9-inch Italian hoagies, $4.50 each, and they're going to be delivered on Sunday, September 9th, fresh. Secondly, there's going to be a ladies' fellowship meeting. We haven't had one of those in a while, so this is going to be really great. All ladies of the church are invited to this, and it's bring a friend and a salad and a recipe to share, and that's actually this Friday at 6 o'clock. Hope you ladies can make it. Have a great night, everybody.
Do Dear God, we thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to know you, Lord. We thank you that we can come out tonight, that we can sing songs to you about how awesome you are. We thank you, Lord, that you care enough about us to speak to us tonight. We pray, Lord, that as we sing these songs, that you would hear our hearts, hear that we want to hear from you, that we want you to speak to us, we want you to challenge us. We pray you would show up tonight in a powerful way, your spirit would move in our hearts, commune with our spirits, and challenge us to change, Lord, to be more like you, to look at the attitudes that we've been carrying in our hearts and make sure that they align with your word and your heart. I pray these things in your name. All righty. Let's go ahead and stand up. We're going to continue with the song. It's a new song. It's called Hope of the World. And I think we're going to really get to where we like this one.
sets me free, Jesus Christ, who lives in me. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus here, our Lord of all. My hope and my defense, came to seek and save the lost. You paid it all upon the cross. You are stronger, sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen, Jesus, you, our Lord of all.
Shoulders, my soul now to sin. So what could I say? What could I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So walk upon salvation, Spirit alive in me, alive to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what could I say? What could I do?
Tonight. We're in a series right now on attitudes. We're going through it on Sunday morning. We're going through it on Saturday nights. We're going through it in small groups. If you do not get an attitude check over the next 6 to 12 weeks, then you are just not paying attention. Because God is going to do something awesome in our body at Oasis on Saturday nights, and in church on Sunday mornings and on Wednesday nights, and he really wants to talk to each one of us in a powerful way and to help us get out of the wilderness, out of the desert of our own making, of our own choosing, because of our own murmuring. And murmuring is a term that if you're in our Sunday morning class or in our Sunday morning service, and if you're reading through the book that the small groups is going through, murmuring is a term they use in the Old Testament in Exodus to talk about a group of attitudes that the children of Israel had. And it was because of this murmuring, it was because of these attitudes in their life that God actually shut them down and said, you will not go in the promised land. Your entire generation will die and I will take your kids into the promised land. And that's powerful.
So we need to know what these attitudes are and how to deal with them. Tonight we're going to be talking about one of those attitudes, and we need to eliminate it from our lives, and it's called covetousness. So, September 12th, anybody know what goes down September 12th? What's happening September 12th? Lee knows? Anybody else? Jace knows? Sue knows? Sally, what's happening September 12th? National Day of Prayer? No, no, no. It's much more important than that. The new iPhone comes out. The new iPhone comes out. It's the announcement for the new iPhone, September 12th. How many of you out here would like a new iPhone when it comes out? Anybody? Okay. Okay. That's cool. Pastor Joe's like, yes, yes, please. I, of course, would like a new iPhone. How many of you out there hate iPhones? Anybody? Any iPhone haters? Wow. You guys Android people? You know what? You can just leave. Just go ahead and, you know, you already play guitar. We appreciate it, Brian, but just, no, it's okay. It's okay. No, just don't really leave. But so the new iPhone comes out. How many of you would say that it is wrong to want a new iPhone? Aside from the Android people who just are saying it for political reasons. How many of you would say it's wrong to want a new iPhone? Anybody? Pastor Joe's like, oh, I don't like where this is going. I don't know. He's like, oh. He's like, I studied this covetousness thing for two. You're preaching this tomorrow. So he's like, oh, I know where he's going. Oh. Okay. How many of you would say it's wrong to want a new iPhone? How about this? How many of you would say you don't think it's wrong to want a new iPhone? You don't think it's a big deal. It's not wrong. Okay, cool. Cool. Let me read a scripture for you. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Exodus 20, 17. If you have your Bible, you can turn there tonight. Exodus 20, 17. And I'm going to be reading, it's on page 61 if you have an ESV. And I'm going to read this one verse here. It says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's." Okay? So it says we're not supposed to covet stuff. Now, let me ask you again. How many of you think that wanting an iPhone, a new iPhone, is wrong? Everybody converters? Sue? Sue's kind of on the fence. Pastor Joe's kind of up and down about it. No, 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 no. Yes or no? Just answer the question.
Yes or no? There's no gray areas.
There's no gray areas. Okay. How many of you would say it's absolutely, I know without a doubt, it is absolutely not wrong to want a new iPhone? What happened? How many of you would say, I'm confused. I just don't know. I'll be honest. I really don't know. If I had to like stake my claim in life on whether or not it is right or wrong to have a new iPhone, on whether or not I get into heaven or go to hell, like, I would not answer that question. Anybody? Okay, cool. This is the problem. This is a huge problem, okay? This is a big problem. The problem with covetousness is this. Covetousness is so ingrained in our culture, in the very DNA of what we value, that we don't even know what it is, let alone why it's wrong. We really don't. We have no clue what it is. We wouldn't recognize it if it slapped us in the face. As my grandparents would say, if it a snake, it'd bit you. Is what the way they'd say it, you know? If it were a snake, it'd bit you, because you wouldn't even see it. You wouldn't even see it. And this is how covetousness is. So tonight we're going to unpack covetousness and first off understand what it is, and secondly, how covetousness keeps us in the wilderness. It keeps us spiritually defeated and completely disconnected from God, okay? So stick with me on this. First off, let's define covetousness. I looked it up in the dictionary I Googled it. And it had like a really cool definition. Like, you just type in define and then the word and Google will give you the definition. This is what it said. It said, an envious eagerness to possess something. An envious eagerness to possess something. Okay? How many of you know what a slap bracelet is? How many of you grew up in the 90s and were around when the slap bracelets were awesome? Yeah, yeah? You weren't in the 90s. Yes, Josh, no. Here's a slap bracelet. If you have never seen one of these, they are awesome. Okay, the slap bracelets is how they work, you know? You take your arm like this, and then you slap the bracelet on. Oh, it's so cool. It's really fun. You just do it all day long. Back in the 90s, these were all the rage. In fourth grade, this was the hot thing. You were not a person if you did not own one of these, okay? You were just a nobody, a non-existent non-person if you did not have one of these, because these were that cool, okay? So I didn't have one, which caused a big problem. My parents did not buy me one. They thought they were stupid. You know, they weren't going to waste any money on a silly bracelet for a boy. I mean, come on, you know. So I did not have a slap bracelet, and I really, really wanted a slap bracelet, okay? I really wanted a slap bracelet, and I wanted a slap bracelet so bad that I was willing to do just about anything to get one. So there was this kid in my class in fourth grade. I don't remember his name. He didn't have any friends. He was a loner, kind of set by himself, but he had a slap bracelet. So what I did, and I'm not proud of this, I'm not, but I went over to this kid and I started talking to him, and I made a deal with him. I said, listen, you're lonely. You don't seem to have any friends. I need a slap bracelet. So if you'll give me your slap bracelet, I'll be your friend. And he went for it. So I got a slap bracelet. It's not this one. And it was awesome. So, you know, I got a new friend. He got a friend, you know, and it was going to be great. And I had this slap bracelet. I took it home that night, and I'm like slapping it, you know, until my arm got raw and bloody and stuff. That was the rumor that kids got cut and died. And so I think it was just teachers got sick of them. And so they made up this story about cutting your wrists and stuff. But anyways, I take it home and my parents see me with a slap bracelet. Where'd that come from? My new friend gave it to me. Now, my parents were smart people. They knew something was up. Like, this is not right. No, Ronnie, as they call me because it's my real name. No, Ronnie, you're not keeping the slap bracelet. You're going to take that back to school and you're going to give it back to him. So I took it back to school and I gave him back the slap bracelet. And of course, we weren't friends after that. So, you know, a deal's a deal. Listen. But it was that kind of thing. That's what covetousness is, okay? Covetousness isn't just an eagerness to possess something. It is an envious eagerness to possess something. What is envy? Envy is a feeling of discontented or resentful longing, okay? Envy is a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or luck, okay? So, envious eagerness. Covetousness plays itself out in two ways that we're going to look at. Number one, a discontented longing. A discontented longing. And number two is the second one that it says here, it is a resentful longing. Discontented longing and a resentful longing. Okay? So we're going to look at these. This is how covetousness plays itself out. Number one, discontented longing. Discontented longing is this. It says, I can't be happy unless I have a slap bracelet. I cannot be happy unless I have this thing. There is no way that my world can be complete, that I can be happy unless I have this. It's this discontented longing. It's going to consume me. I'm not going to be able to sleep. I'm not going to be able to eat. I got to get it. I'm going to do whatever it takes, even if it means walking all over someone else. It says, I can't think about anything else until I get this thing. It says, if we don't get out of this house soon, I'm going to die. If I don't get accepted into that school, my life is over. Okay? There is no way that I could ever be happy until I find the man or woman that I'm supposed to marry. There's no way I could be happy single. Absolutely not. When I finally get that promotion, then I'll be happy. How about this one? I just got a few more years, then I can retire and finally I'll be happy, right? How about this one? If my husband would just be more loving, then I could stick it out in this marriage. If my husband would just be more loving, then I could stick it out in this marriage. Or if my wife would just be more responsive to my need for physical intimacy, then we would have an awesome marriage. Those are all illustrations of discontented longing. Discontented longing. I can't be happy unless this is fulfilled. It just can't happen. I can't be happy unless this is this is fulfilled. The second way covetousness plays itself out is a resentful longing, okay? Discontented longing says, I can't be happy unless I have this thing. Resentful longing says, if I can't have it, you can't have it, okay? You sure can have it if I can't have it. I'm working with the team to build an iPad app, right? You guys have heard I'm working with the team to build an iPad app for public speakers, for pastors and communicators, because we need a better application, you know, and I think there could be better stuff out there. So the other day I searched Twitter for preaching apps, because I'm always on the look for what's happening, you know, who's going to build what, is something going to come out before ours does, you know, what ideas are going on out there. And I saw this tweet. This guy says this. He says, this pastor's preaching using the Bible app on his iPad 2, and he has the nerve to ask for donations to the church. I'm like, oh, is this legit? Like, this pastor's preaching using the Bible app on his iPad 2, and he has the nerve to ask for donations to the church. What is that? Resentful much? Resentful? Yeah, it's resentful. If I can't have an iPad, then why in the world should that preacher have an iPad? I thought he's serving God. He wants me to give money to God, but yet he has this. If I can't have it, then obviously he shouldn't have it. What about this? I saw this on Facebook one time. I've kind of rephrased it. It's my own paraphrase, but it said something like this. It was, we get it, you're rich. Not everyone can afford a new car, and you don't have to rub everyone's nose in it. Someone posted a picture of their new car. Check it out, I got this new car, it's awesome, I'm so excited. Response, we get it, you're rich. Not everyone can afford a new car though, so quit rubbing people's nose in it. Resentful longing, it's resentful longing. Someone else is successful and receives praise at something you're good at, what do you feel? Someone else is successful, they get an attaboy. Hey, awesome job at that thing that you're really good at. You're thinking in your heart, you're thinking, I could do better. I could do better than that. But they're getting all the attention. They're getting all the attention. That's a resentful longing. That comes out of covetousness in our hearts, okay? So there's this resentful longing that says, if I can't have it, then you shouldn't have it. And a discontented longing says, I can't be happy unless I have this thing. This is the two ways that covetousness plays itself out. And both of us struggle with either side of it, okay? I'm more of a discontented longing kind of guy, like the new iPhone is like, you know, and it'll get closer and closer and closer and I'll start getting hives. Like, I have to have it, I have to have it, I have to. That's a discontented longing, it's sin. The Bible calls that covetousness, it's bad, it's bad. Okay, but let's just stop right there for a second, because maybe some of you guys aren't buying this. Maybe there's a problem with this, because as I was thinking through this, message and covetousness, I hit a roadblock in my own heart and in my own mind, and here's how it went. So, I can't have any desires, ambitions, or goals. Is that what you're saying, God? This is kind of the conversation that I had. Does this mean I'm not allowed to have any desires, ambitions, or goals? If wanting stuff is wrong? I mean, look, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, he said, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Wait a second. Don't want stuff, but if you ask me for stuff, I'll give it to you. See where I'm going? It was confusing to me. This was my conversation with God. How am I supposed to ask you for something if I'm not allowed to want something, God? How am I supposed to ask you for something if I'm not allowed to want something? On the one hand, you tell me not to want stuff. Your neighbor gets some new car, you're not allowed to want that one, because that would be covetousness. But then on the other hand, you tell me if I ask anything in your name, then you will hook me up. What gives? What gives? Which is it? Which way is it? I gotta ask you guys, do you believe this verse? Who here tonight says they believe the verse? If you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. Okay, we got a guy in the back. Another one. Anybody else believe what the Bible says? Yes? We got a couple more? I like to think that I believe all the Bible. How many of you have asked God for something before? Like in a prayer? All right. Pretty much everybody is at some point. How many of you have asked God for something, but he didn't give it to you? What gives? What gives? I asked God for my meemaw to be healed of cancer, but she's dead. I asked God to take away tempting desires in my heart so that I wouldn't sin against him. He didn't do it. I still face temptation all the time. What gives? He says, don't want stuff, but ask me anything and it's yours. But when I ask God for stuff, I get a big fat no. I get a big fat no. You see, I think sometimes we can gloss over this stuff and we can just say, well, you know, that's the answer is always Jesus in Sunday school. What are you doing, Ron? Like, this is like, we're not supposed to talk about this. And, but yeah, we have to. We have to address this stuff because I think this is where the tension comes out of what covetousness is. In moments like this, we either walk out the doors and just say, forget God, or we acknowledge there could be another thing going on, that maybe our entire view of the world could be wrong, that maybe we're looking at the world completely wrong. We're not asking the right questions because we don't even know what covetousness is and what it does. So let's unpack it. Let's go to James chapter 4. Trying to answer these questions. And I believe that God will reveal them to you and to me as he already has. James chapter 4. And I'm going to start in verse number 1. What causes quarrels? And what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it upon your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You see, the lie that blinds us to the truth about covetousness is this. Here's the lie. I know what's best for me. That's the lie. I know what is best for me. When we believe that in our heart, we'll be completely blind to covetousness. We won't even see it, we won't even understand it, we won't even comprehend it. On Wednesday nights, we like to go to the Beanery after church. Any of you guys like the Beanery? Can I get a witness on some Southwest Ranch? Hello? Hello! Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? Southwest Ranch is one of the greatest things that Uniontown has going for it. The Beanery. So check it out. There's a little plug for them. Maybe they'll give me a free meal. I doubt it. But on Wednesday nights after church, we have small groups, and then it's like a bunch of people always go out. And so Lucas, my little six-year-old son, he always wants to go out to eat after church on Wednesdays. Because his buddy Jerry goes out to eat and the other kids, and they have a good time. And so he asks me every week, Daddy, can we go out to eat at the Beanery? Can we go out to eat at the Beanery? And I'll say, sometimes I'll say, yeah, sure, that's fine. And other times I'll say, no, we're not going to go out to the Beanery tonight. We need to go home. And the nights that I say, no, we need to go home, you know what he does? I want to go to the Beanery! And he does the, I want to go to the meeting. He starts screaming. He starts just throwing a fit. He throws himself down on the floor and everything else. And, I want to go to the meeting. Why? It's like he's the sweetest little child. Daddy, could we please go to the meeting? No, we're not going to the... And it just like turns into like this Medusa character, like just the eyes coming out, the demon horns and stuff, and just the screaming. And it's like, whoa. And you know what he says to me? I'll do anything you want. Just please let me go to the beanery. I'll do anything you want. Just please, let me go to the meeting. He does this. And so, as a rational individual, I say, what I want is for you to be quiet. Okay. And I want you to get in the van so we can go home. You want, I promise I'll be quiet. Just let us go to the beanery. What I want, son, is for you to be quiet and obey and go home. But I want to go to the beanery. I'll be quiet if we go to the beanery. I won't stop crying if we don't go to the beanery. He starts with like this terror stuff, you know, like I'm going to keep screaming if you don't take me to the beanery. I want to go to the beanery. Son, I want to go home. I want you to go home. There's a problem. Problem is either the father gets his way or the son gets his way. We can't both get our way. I want my son to go home and go to bed to get a good night's sleep. He wants to go to the beanery. We can't both have what we want. Either the father gets what he wants or I get what I want. Either the father gets what he wants, or you get what you want. See where I'm going with this? This is the problem. Covetousness is spitting in God's face under the guise of a spiritual prayer warrior. It really is. It's spitting in God's face when we are covetous. It says something like this. This is how the prayer goes. Dear God, you know that I know what's best for me, so I ask that you would trust me and surrender to my plan for my life. Lord, I'm doing great so far, but you know, there's this one thing, this one area over here that I need to bring my plan together. In fact, God, if you'll just do this thing, then I'll be happy and I won't even bother you anymore. That's what it is. I'll leave you alone. Like, just help me out with this one thing. And then my plan will go fine. Covetousness is saying, God, I could do your job better than you're doing your job. That's what covetousness is. When I want what I don't have, what God has not given to me, and I demand it, and I decide I'm not going to be happy, I'm going to be a miserable person in this world until I get what I want, or I'm going to make everyone around me miserable because they have what I want. That's saying, God, I could do your job. You obviously have no clue what you're doing. I mean, look at my life, God. Hello? Do you really know? Are you even paying attention up there? Do you see the car I have to drive? Do you see where I have to live? Have you seen my job, the people I work with, God? Do you see the man that I'm married to? Hello? You ought to be able to smell him from up there. I mean, come on. Lord, this woman that I have to put up with, do you see what's going on? Will you not change something there? God, he's sick. My grandpa's sick. Hey, are you not even paying attention to my life? What are you thinking, God? Letting this situation go down. Here's the bottom line. Covetousness in our heart says, I want to follow you, God. I really, really do, but I just don't trust you because you keep failing to follow my plan. You just keep failing to follow my plan, God. So I can't really trust you. I want to follow you, but come, you got to get on board. You see, God doesn't grant our requests to him because they're treasonous. He's the creator of the universe. He's in control. He made us. Everything we have is a gift from him. Your breath, your life, the hair on your head, the fact that you can walk, that you can move, that you exist in the universe is a gift from God Almighty. He has given everything we need for his plan, not ours. He's given us everything we need for his plan, but not our plan. And that's the problem. Look at the next few verses here, James 4, 6 through 10. It says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. You see, we need to repent of our treasonous heart attitude in the area of covetousness. If there's anything in your life that you have been carrying around saying, look, I'm not going to be happy until this happens. As soon as I get over this hump, this thing, then I can be happy. Then I can, you know, relax. Then I can follow God. Then I can serve him. When I get this, then I can do what God wants me to do. You know, I'm just waiting for this. No. That's saying, God, you need to stick to my timeline. God, do you see what they have? Why don't I have that? Why do you love them more than me? When you start loving me, God, when you show up and you start pursuing me, then I can work for you. But until then, you know, you got a lot of nerve asking me to give to the church. You see how much money I have, God? It's not that much. You give me a bunch of, you let me win the lotto and I will give it all to you, Lord. Well, aside from, you know, the big house and the cars and stuff that I want, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. We need to repent of our treasonous hearts. We need to submit our wants and our desires to God and beg his forgiveness for fighting him. And say, God, replace my desires with your desires. We don't even see the problem. We don't even see that our ambition and our wants and our goals are treasonous against God Almighty. Yeah, there's you can have dreams. You can have wants. God will place them in your heart. But you have to put those secondary to what God desires for you. Let's all stand together tonight. I'm going to ask you, everyone, just bow your head and close your eyes. Just give yourself and others around you some privacy to kind of think things through. This isn't an easy message. This isn't one of those feel good, like, oh, sweet, that was so much fun. No, it's not. It's really hard. Because it shatters our view of the entire world. It shatters my 5-year plan, God. It really does. It messes me all up. Because I have to realize, I have to come to terms, I have to think, maybe what I want isn't even right. Can you go there? Can you go there tonight? Maybe what you want isn't even the right thing for you. Maybe it's not even the best thing for you. Do you trust God that he is giving the best thing for you? I want to ask you tonight, as the song we sang said, all we need is you. All we need is you. If you never got another raise, if you never got another relationship, if nothing, if all those things, those dreams never came true in your life, would it be enough to have God? Would it be enough to have God? Or are you so consumed by that thing that's just within reach, that's just over the horizon, that you've been begging God for maybe for years. And he's saying, no, that's not what you need. I gave you what you need. No, God, no, you're wrong. No, I gave you what you need. Can you trust him? Father,
I want to want what you want. You are God. You know what is best for me. Please forgive my covetous heart. Lord, I pray for those here tonight that you would hear their prayers, that you would forgive their covetous heart, Lord, as they cry out to you. Lord, Psalm says if we delight ourselves in you, then you will give us the desires of our heart. I believe that means you will replace my wrong desires with your perfect desires. And when my desires are aligned with your will, God, then when I ask, you will be all too pleased to just lavish it upon me. Dear God, please change our desires to align with your plan and not ours. Lord, I pray that you would help us to surrender tonight. God, I believe there's someone here tonight that has been wrestling with a decision, and it's just consumed them to the point of sickness even, God. And I pray for them tonight. I pray you would heal them. I pray they would hear you, that they would submit to you, that the floodgates would just be released in their heart and their spirit. That they would just let go. Lord, we pray that you would continue to work on us this week. You would reveal to us, you'd point it out, you'd highlight it, that it would be just so clear, and we would say, oh my goodness, I am covetous. Lord, continue to reveal that as we work through this week. Speak to our hearts tomorrow morning through Pastor Joe. Solidify this in our hearts, Lord. Help us to fearlessly seek this out and weed it out and give it over to you. Pray these things in your name. Amen. Every week we do take up an offering. We have a plate in the back. We take up an offering because we believe that God wants us to be givers. And so we need to exercise giving of our stuff so that we don't become covetous, so that we don't consume it all upon ourselves. So I invite you to participate in that when we dismiss. We're going to go ahead and close with one more song. So if we could have our musicians come up, then that would be great. I do have one more announcement.
We have a family in need in our church. They need food. That kind of puts it in perspective. You know, when we think about what we want. But they need food. They're hungry, and unfortunately, our food pantry is just bare bones right now. We just don't have what we need to give them and meet their needs. So if you would like to throw something on the plate, any of the loose offering we get tonight, we're just going to use to buy some groceries for them. If you'd like to buy some groceries, run to the store afterwards or whatever, that would be awesome. We will make sure they get those. Okay? Let's go ahead and close with our new song again, so we can kind of get that in our heads. It's called The Hope of the World.
Of freedom, and the whole earth sing, hear the praises rising. We stand in awe of what you've done for us at the cross, the hope of the world lifted on high. Calling us home with arms out wide, to know you forever, to love you forever. You are our everything. Our sin erased, we are forgiven. You made a way, you were our ransom. We owe this life for all you've done for us at the cross, the hope of the world lifted on high, calling us home.
Conversation and talk about covetousness.